Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And fourth meal? You want a fourth meal?
No.
You're trying to be good?
No fourth meal.
How about a delicious Mass Appeal coffee with oat milk?
Ew. Oh,
listen.
I don't understand that at all. No, that sounds like you sound like a distinguished gentleman with like a nice smoking jacket in your study or library and having a nice, delicious gourmet coffee. I feel like a one-up listener is like in a Dunkin' Donuts. Hey, well, let me get an egg and cheese and a coffee.
Now, I do want to take a moment before we talk all about the legacy of Jay-Z and all the things we've learned. I'd like to say two things. Number one, am I the only one who's sick of Jay-Z? Number two, Syfe, you know what we need to do?
What's that?
Have a party.
Yes.
What do you think about this?
Okay.
Hear me out. Okay.
Go ahead.
Picture it.
Yeah.
November 27th.
Okay.
It's a Wednesday. It's the day before Thanksgiving.
Biggest party night of the year.
Or as you call Thanksgiving,
Indian Slaughter Day.
That's right. Not exactly a celebratory term, but yes, I appreciate the political implications of that.
Yeah.
The biggest, my favorite party night of the year. The night before Thanksgiving.
We give out blankets with smallpox.
No. Again, I appreciate where you're going because that is a tragedy that's very real and needs to be talked about in this country.
Okay, not that. Sorry.
I'm with you on it. But yeah. No, for the theme of the party, I say we go to a venue.
Yeah.
For example, Bowery Ballroom in Manhattan.
Okay.
Holds about 500 people.
Okay.
All right. We get a set of Technics 1200 turntables.
I like where you're going.
A DJ mixer.
Right.
A Serato system.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps vinyl if you felt like bringing some. We call our friend, the original Carhartt girl, Laura Stiles.
I love where this is going.
We get the mic in her hands.
Right.
We invite all of the Juanep people. I'm talking about Billy June.
Uh-huh.
DJ Juanito. Dominican Drew.
And march the crowd for hundreds of miles. Call it the
Trail of Tears?
Yeah, the Trail of Tears.
No.
What do you want to do?
Have a party. Okay. I'm talking about playing classic hip-hop, Juanep style hip-hop, Native Tongues, Raucous, Hyro, N.W.A.,
Mob
Deep, M.O.P., Nas. Yes.
I love this.
Royce da 5'9", Schoolboy Q.
Woo!
Kendrick.
Common.
Big Daddy Kane.
Rakim. Wait, you talking about playing
Lil'
like...
Lil' Kim.
Playing Big Pun records?
Big Pun, the Beat Nuts.
What about Big L?
Big
Can
L.
Can we throw Big L Ebonics
on?
Yo,
how about some random SWV featuring Wu-Tang?
Oh.
And we play only music like that all night long.
Aaron Hall with Redman?
Yes, Curiosity.
I love this.
Horace Brown and Jay-Z.
I love this idea. How do we do this? Mary J. Blige with Smith & Wesson?
Yes.
What?
We're doing it. It's the night before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Bowery Ballroom. Okay? Go to me and Syfe's Instagram, Rosenberg Radio, or at Syfe Sounds. Buy tickets. Cheap tickets. Like $20.
Please.
$20. Come out. We'll have lots of friends and family.
Yeah.
Everyone who worked on the Juanep show. A little party, a celebration. Because also, it will also mark the end of this season of Juanep.
I love this idea.
Well, good, because I already booked
good
it.
Music.
So I booked it already, and I assumed you're in.
I'm booked already.
Oh, where are you booked?
I'm in Tallahassee. I'm kidding. Well, I'll be there.
Don't worry. I'm actually having DJ Enough replace you anyway. So. Hey, I'm Peter Rosenberg.
And I am Syfe Sounds.
And this is Juanep.
What a journey this has been, man.
I know. Started out as a hip-hop podcast, right?
Yeah.
But then by the end, what it was more of like two guys,
yeah,
a Puerto Rican and a Jew, talking about hip-hop through an audio form.
No, that's a podcast.
So, Syfe, we've talked about a lot of different things related
so
to Jay-Z.
Things.
We focused really on music, his making music, the raps, the beats, all those things.
That's all I care about.
I know. It's really the main thing we care about. And we talked about where he's from, the Marcy Projects in Bed-Stuy, and where he is now, and how incredibly, beyond impressive, his run has been. But as we try to figure out whether or not he's the greatest, which we'll dive into next week for our final episode of the season, we need to consider everything he's done outside of music.
I don't agree.
Okay, so
I
you want to skip
agree.
The episode?
No. Let's do the episode. But when we come down to the facts of hip-hop, what does it matter that you own clothing lines or that you did a deal with the NFL or you have all these different businesses. Are you the greatest rapper? Can you rap? Does that money help you be a better rapper?
Well, that you know, it's an interesting point. I think it's fair. You know, there's Jay-Z the rapper, and then there's Jay-Z the everything. And next week when we get into the question about whether or not he's the GOAT, I think part of everything he's done outside is inherently factored in.
Show me how.
So like,
show your work.
Okay, I will, with a pencil, and I will, because you're the kind of teacher who, if you just give an answer, it's not enough. You want to see the X's.
I want to see why that is a factor.
And I understand. I think that's totally reasonable. Because if you compare him apples to apples with other artists, I can tell you other artists who have better bodies of work percentage-wise. But that's not enough. That's not enough to tell the whole picture, in my opinion. You know, I know I might be able to tell you more Raekwon or Ghostface songs I like than Jay-Z. It's possible. Right. I'm not saying it's true, but it's possible. I have like 3 Ghostface albums that I think are nearly perfect. And Mobb Deep. I have Prodigy's solo album, Hell on Earth, The Infamous, I think are all breathtaking bodies of work.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm not ever putting them in the conversation as being greater than Jay-Z. Why is that? I think it's because we do consider everything else. I think the whole package is inherently part of it. Uh-huh. That's what makes him the GOAT. That's what makes him hip-hop's greatest export. Not just the music, all of it.
So you're saying all these other factors add to the legacy of the guy, the legend of Jay-Z.
Okay, and by the way,
does it make him a better rapper?
No, but
maybe it does. It's rough. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a science guy.
No,
but maybe.
Nor do I think there's anything to do with science. But keep going.
Maybe it's a numbers game. The more people that listen,
you know,
create more movement in the zeitgeist. Is why we think he's the greatest, or is he really the greatest, or is it all an illusion?
Everything you just said was actually really profound and made sense. But just so you know, number stuff would be. I'm not a math guy.
No.
If you were adding like,
I'm not a numbers guy.
Right, but you said I'm not a science guy.
I'm not a science guy either.
So actually, this didn't come out of nowhere. You know, Hove the businessman, from the beginning of his career, when he didn't get a record deal and he had to start Rockefeller and become an entrepreneur on his own, he's been talking about this. Here's Jay-Z explaining the lyrics to his song, Only a Customer, from the Streets is Watching soundtrack. And he gives you an idea of where his head was even back then. Did you picture it this far? Like, go honestly, well, you going this far.
You listen to it. Somehow I felt it. You know, while you read the source, I read the Rob Report, and it's the Fortune 5, top 5 in the Forbes. You'll see as you thumb through the Forbes, I read the Rob Report. It was like this whole thing about manifesting all these things. So, yeah.
So, Saif, we know that Jay-Z's made a lot of money from hip-hop, but name real quick some of the other businesses you know he's involved in.
Well, there was Rock Aware.
How much Rock Aware gear you have?
I didn't have that much.
No?
I had a dope, like a satin baseball type jacket. What do you call those?
Yeah, I think I. By
it
the
was
way,
too big though.
If you're ever wondering about Cypher Sounds and like wearing old hip hop clothing, if you do a Google image search of Cypher, you will likely find him looking like a 2005 hip-hop lunatic in big, gigantic, colorful jackets with matching Yankees hats to everything.
All different kinds. I had every Yankee hat. Yo. Every color.
Name a Yankee.
Huh?
Name a Yankee.
Derek Rodriguez.
All right, so Rock Aware, yes. And by the way, I had one full outfit. I had the sweat, a green and white top and pants.
Like a velour?
No, sweatsuit.
Oh, sweatsuit. Okay.
It was actually a nice, pretty thick, warm, and it wasn't uber expensive, Rock Aware.
No, it was a good hip-hop clothing
now,
line.
Now, here's an important question, though. While we're here and we're talking about it, how popular was it? Like, let's really talk about what Rock Aware was. Like, we kind of make fun of all those brands now. Yeah. Was there a time when it was, like, taken seriously and, like, people wore it out and you're like, oh, damn, that's some fresh Rock Aware shit?
It's funny with Rock Aware, I never, and this is just me, this is just my experience in New York City at the time, I never saw it being that big. I don't know how well it did around the country. I'm assuming it did well because when you hear certain rhymes, Jay-Z says, you know, getting $80 million for a clothing line, way more than you could get for selling however many albums, you know what I'm saying? I didn't see it that much. I know Sean John I saw everywhere.
But it's funny, I feel like I liked Rockaware more.
I think I didn't like the fact that it had rock in it. That's what threw me off. I wish it was called something else.
Why though?
It felt like I was wearing merch as opposed to wearing apparel. Do you understand the difference?
Yes, because Rockaware is so close to Rockefeller.
Yeah, it was too close where Sean John was like, you didn't even know that was Puffy's name maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I hear what you're saying.
And I used to wear a lot of Mecca, a lot of Aniche.
Of course you did. You
a wore lot all... of Academics.
LRG.
Oh, LRG.
I wore a lot of LRG.
Yeah, Rockaware felt like I was jocking Jay-Z too much.
But you were.
Not.
But you didn't want to admit it. You knew him too well.
I'd rather wear a Jay-Z shirt than a Rockaware shirt. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I'd rather wear the hip-hop. Like, I'll wear an artist t-shirt rather than just your clothing line. That do you really okay,
where
care
does
it, about it?
Where does it rank among rapper clothing lines?
Quality-wise?
No, just popularity. It was bigger than WooWear.
Of course.
It was not, so maybe
WooWear is definitely merch. WooWear felt like merch.
Yeah.
Concert merch.
It was not quite Sean John, you're saying, or around the same level?
Maybe. I think Sean John was a little more popular. But also Sean John, you know what? Sean John catered to big sizes. So all the security guards used to wear Sean John. All the bouncers in front of nightclubs.
I always fashion my style. I'm like, what are the bouncers wearing? And then I go to Big and Tall, and I'm like, I want that one.
Wait, what if
the
you
triple
needed,
X Sean John zip up?
What
please.
If you needed a purple linen outfit for like some kind of?
Or if you have an all white party you're going to this weekend, you gotta get the Sean John. I love that you said all the security guards wore it.
Either Sean John or FUBU. Those are the ones that catered to the.
But either way, no matter how you cut it, Rockaware did pretty well.
I did very well.
It was a pretty big win.
Very well.
All right, what else? What else do you, when you think of his brands, what else do you go to? There's the label that he owned, of course. There's the clothing line that came with that.
It was there's liquor.
He had a champagne company.
Well, the first one was Armadale.
Yep.
That was still Rockefeller. So that was like, I felt that was more, I feel like I think of Dame Dash more.
But it was both of them, right?
I'm assuming. None of this, we don't have research on any of this, fact checking.
Well, we know that he has a joint venture with Bacardi for Doucet. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's later on, because Ace of Spades,
later,
too.
Later. We know, yeah, Ace of Spades deal, too.
Ace of Spades. That was literally like, Cristal is shitting on us. Like, Cristal doesn't want us buying their product.
So we're going to
I'm going to make a better one.
And guess what? Ace of Spades became like a real thing.
Like, oh, Your bottle is see-through where we can see the gold champagne inside. No. Gold bottle.
With like a big fancy case. Like it's so, Ace of Spades is so over the top. You know, remember when that dude came up and gave us a bottle of Ace of Spades?
No.
Or maybe you weren't with me. I was doing an appearance once at a cell phone store and a guy just came up to me and was like, yo, man, here's my CD and here's a bottle of Ace. I was like, wow, this is feels like payola, first of all. Don't worry, I never played the music. Did take the bottle of Ace of Spades, though. Uh-huh.
Drank it?
I don't know if I ever drank it or just ended up giving it to someone else.
I have a bottle of Ace of Spades and Doucet above my refrigerator.
Like, it just in sits the cabinet. There.
Yeah, it's just sitting there.
Would you ever serve it for some reason?
Does that stuff go bad? I don't know how liquor works. I mean, I serve that Glenlivet all the time.
Woo-wee!
That's what I really serve. That's in the freezer, cold.
And if someone wants that 14-year-old?
Yeah, that's what I... Well,
boom, pip.
I serve that at the parties.
Woo, the Glenlivet. Anyways, Tidal? How successful is Tidal?
I don't know. They're not going to tell us the numbers. But I'm sure it's great.
He supposedly made like $100 million from it.
Great.
It's done well for him. And it has subscribers now. It's the only place you can get Jay-Z's whole catalog streaming.
Yeah.
So frustrating what you can get on Spotify. It's like random features and
it's hard to, I mean, is it All right. Why? You could get both. People think you can only get one. People, you know what I'm saying?
It's expensive.
Yeah, I know.
And he got, remember, you know what's interesting? Remember how big a deal the original announcement was, though?
Yeah.
When he got all those artists to show up?
People hated that announcement.
He got, wasn't it like Rihanna?
Nicki.
Madonna?
J. Cole.
Madonna, right?
Who's the guy with the head, the mouse head guy?
Mickey Mouse.
No.
Chuck E. Cheese. No. When Chuck E. Cheese was in a band.
DJ. Deadmau5.
Deadmau5, yeah.
Yeah.
Not... Wait, you weren't referring to Chuck E. Cheese's
Chuck
band?
Chuck E. Cheese is not own. Chuck E. Cheese is on Tidal. He doesn't own.
But for the record, he did have a band. When he you go to Chuck band. E. Cheese, they play. All right, but not that mouse. Who else showed up at that thing? Daft Punk, Alicia Keys.
Yeah, Alicia Keys read the proclamation, I believe.
Yeah.
It was good. I was there. It was fun.
You were there?
I got free headphones, Sennheisers.
That's pretty nice. Did you talk to everyone? You see Rihanna?
No, you know what? I went there to see everybody, but they kind of were like in another section.
Where were you?
Just like in the general population.
Oh, that's pathetic. Yeah. Were you embarrassed?
It was nice.
Okay. If you want to be Gen Pop, I'd rather be dead.
I mean, I don't know. Tidal, I love it. It seems to has done well for him. Maybe it's not the same as the other streaming services where you can get our podcast, like Spotify and Apple Music or whatever it is.
Pandora.
But it still seems to be good.
Well, for a while, people kept saying it was going out of business and it was in trouble and it was the end. And now here we are several years later and it's still going.
Yeah.
And they actually keep adding stuff. They claim to offer more than 60 million tracks and 240,000 music videos. They have two levels of service. Tidal Premium,
mm-hmm.
and then Tidal Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was also controversy around supposedly Beyonce and Kanye's numbers had been manipulated?
Yeah, I've always heard. I don't listen to any of that stuff.
I'm just trying to tell the full story, okay? It's one of the things that's said.
Wasn't there a Jay-Z truck or a car? Wasn't there like a, was it GMC? Remember it was like Jay-Z blue, the color of it was Jay-Z blue or something like that.
There was a he had a was it a Rolls Royce?
No,
I
feel like it was GMC for some reason.
Jay-Z,
a car came out and it was called Jay-Z blue, the color of it.
I think you may have made that up.
Yeah, a GM
Yukon
XL Denali, Jay-Z blue.
That's, he had a color? 2007.
Yeah.
There was a Jay-Z edition. And you could have one too at the time for just $40,000.
I told you. You don't believe me. That was the early days of him starting to get into that whole corporate world. There was some other stuff too. Because he was buying up other clothing lines too. He partnered with the company that he partnered with, Rockaware. I want to say it was maybe called IT.
You mean when they started buying up other brands?
Other brands. I remember he bought Billionaire Boys Club.
Yes.
He also bought this jeans line that I used to love called Artful Dodger.
Yep. I remember that.
Yeah. I used to love Artful Dodgers.
I remember.
There was another thing he had.
I wonder if I looked back at your Artful Dodger jeans, if we'd like them, you think they were shipments?
I just saw them, actually. I was in my basement yesterday.
You got in your basement? You found the key?
I got a locksmith.
All right, good.
They are fire. They're just way too baggy.
Yeah, that'll do it.
They're way too baggy. All my PRPSs are down there.
How are those? Baggy?
Like, I look like I was going to an Eminem rave party.
An Eminem rave party?
You remember when they used to wear those wide pants?
Oh, my gosh. The late 90s in New York when people were... wearing their 555 Soul beanie and their jeans that were 40 inches wide, each pant leg.
What were we doing?
Yeah, that was so nuts.
But the jeans are so fire.
Not the ones that were huge, not the ones that were 40 inches wide at the bottom. Those always looked nuts, even at the time. You know what I'm talking about?
Scrambling days.
The raver kit? The scrambling days.
Yeah, the raver ones were extra bad.
The raver ones were absolutely insane. He also had, remember, let's not forget also, in 2003, he had a Reebok deal.
Oh my God.
S. Dot Carter's.
Yeah.
He sold sneakers. He had the commercial. Him and 50 had a commercial together.
That's right. And his sneakers look like the old classic Gucci's.
Yeah, I had a pair of those too, by the way. I take that back. I had a pair of S-Dots as well.
And S-Dot Carter sneaker release is what created the, there was a Jay-Z mixtape, the S-Dot Carter Freestyles, which is like, from what I remember, full of subliminals.
Oh, really? Talking trash at the time.
Full of them.
And by the way, when we were naming all the different hip-hop clothing brands, we forgot about G-Unit.
We did forget about
G-Unit. G-Unit footwear, G-Unit apparel.
I never wore G-Unit. I never wanted to wear like a tank top, fake bulletproof vest. He had 40-40 Club.
I totally forgot about 40-40 Club. And many of them.
There was a couple.
There was a bunch. At one point, there was a bunch.
You think so?
I'll go as far as a bunch.
No.
There was
New York.
Manhattan.
There's Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
There's the one in the Barclays.
Was there an airport one, or I made that up?
I think that was supposed to be. I don't know if it ever happened.
What about Vegas? No?
Not that I know of. I could be wrong.
And which ones are left now? Is AC still there?
No, it got ruined in Sandy. Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's see how many locations there are. By the way, I like 40-40. You like 40-40?
I did. I worked there for a long time.
What do you mean you worked there? You were a waiter?
No, when I was at A&R for Rock La Familia, OG Juan didn't really like being at Def Jam, so we used to just work out of 40-40.
Here's the word. The New York one opened in 2003, followed by AC in 05, Vegas in 07, Barclays Center in 2012.
I remember Vegas.
And the Atlanta Airport in 2014. AC and Vegas have closed.
Atlanta Airport's popping.
Yo, if you're at the airport in Atlanta, though, that's actually, when you think about it, though, isn't that a great decision? Like, think about Atlanta. It's the biggest black city in the country. Like, culture.
What does that matter?
Well, because culturally, it's the most, wouldn't you say it's the most important black city culturally in the country?
Okay.
So the amount of people that are coming in and out, and the amount of hip-hop business entertainment that's coming in and out of Atlanta.
You think the culturally relevant black people in Atlanta hang out at the airport?
No, but they come to the airport when they come to town and leave. I'm not saying like, yo, you know what I love? 40-40. I love it so much. Let's just go to the airport and have a meal.
Yeah, but we need to get a boarding pass.
What else are we forgetting, though? 44, Douce, 40-40, Tidal, Rockaway.
Any other ones, guys?
The deal with Reebok. How about this? They say he has $70 million in his art collection.
Now that's interesting, because I started appreciating art when I used to hear him and Swizz Beatz talk about art.
And Swizz got Hove up on his art game, right?
You think so? I don't know.
I would imagine Swizz is a factor in it, because he takes it super.
He's loud about it, but I'm sure once you hit a certain level of money, somebody comes and has a conversation with you.
Who is that person?
Who knows?
Okay, here's a question. Is Jay-Z so big and influential that he is a huge reason why Basquiat is as culturally important as he is? I would say yes.
I would say in the hip-hop world, I would say most hip-hop people found out about Basquiat through Jay-Z.
Now, we would be remiss when we talk about all these huge, successful ventures. We have to talk about Barclays Center.
Mm-hmm.
So he had
Before the Barclays Center, the Nets.
So it was Nets first.
He bought the New Jersey Nets.
A piece of them.
A small piece, but everybody, you know how everybody used to always criticize him? Oh, it's like 5%. Yeah, you own 0% of anything. and why are you criticizing this man?
And do you know how much basketball teams cost?
Probably a lot.
The Nets now, they were just sold again. The Nets are worth several billion dollars.
Really?
A few billion dollars.
Right, even the number two team in New York is still in New York and is going to be worth a lot of money.
You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars are worth like $3 or $4 billion. Teams have gotten crazy. So
he bought a piece of the Nets.
He bought a piece of the Nets. And then, wasn't it the same deal as the Barclays Center?
No, I don't think so.
Two separate deals?
Yeah. I think in his mind, he knew what he was doing, going to move them. I don't think it was the same deal.
But then, of course, he had to get out of any of that ownership because he started the sports management, sports agency.
If you're apparently, I don't know anything about this, but if you're an agent, a sports agent or a manager, you can't own.
Yeah, that would be a conflict of interest.
Right.
To own a team and a sports agency.
But not the venue. The Barclays.
No, but he's out on the Barclays Center too.
He is?
He's out on all of it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I think because of that. So according, in 2013, Jay-Z is set to earn more than $1.5 million by selling his stakes in the Brooklyn Nets and the Barclays Center.
Oh.
He owns about 1/5 of 1%. Oh, wow. He really did own shit. He owned 1/5 of 1% of the Barclays Center. So they did it really just to have the relationship with him, it sounds like. Because then he got paid to perform at the Barclays Center. So Jay owned stakes in the Brooklyn Nets and the Barclays Center.
Uh-huh.
About 1/5 of 1%. Now, to your point, Sif.
1/5 of 1%?
Yeah, that really is not
that
much.
That is kind of low.
However, remember, when he opened the Barclays Center, he did what, 13 shows?
I don't remember, but we were there for some of them.
And so he made a lot of money at the Barclays Center, I think, besides the small percentage he had. But then when Roc Nation opened up Roc Nation Sports and they became a sports agency, he could no longer have a stake in a team and be an agent because that would be a conflict of interest.
That sucks.
But yeah, once Roc Nation Sports opens, then they're an agency with legitimate athletes, by the way. A lot of NFL athletes, NBA athletes, yeah. Baseball players.
Baseball, I'm sure.
I remember Robinson Cano and...
Right.
You know him.
Yeah, he went to the West Coast.
He went to Seattle. Now he's back on the Mets. He was a Yankee.
Oh, is he back in New York?
There you go. Yeah, you want to holler at him?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, you should reach out.
Oh, that's dope. He's back in New York.
Our boy Victor Cruz.
Yep.
Of course.
The day I signed to Roc Nation, I was with Dez Bryant. I took a picture with him, didn't know who he was.
Well, what happened on the day you signed to Roc Nation? So, take us through it. What's it like when you go to Roc Nation?
For me?
Yeah, sure.
Or how it is usually?
I would like both.
It's a big celebration, maybe a party. There's definitely cake, candles, sometimes a handing of a chain, like a chaining, if you will. Chain around your neck.
No. It should not be called a chaining. That sure? sounds... That
but
sounds,
sometimes if it's done right, it's a Rockaware chain.
Well,
and you're like, oh,
no, a Rockefeller.
Shit. Sorry, Rockefeller. It's a Rockefeller chain, and you're like, oh, I'm in, you know?
Now, in your case.
My case was I was in OG Juan's office.
Okay.
Dez Bryant was there.
Okay.
No idea who he was.
Football player.
Yeah. And we took a picture.
Okay.
By the Roc Nation sign.
Who was in the picture?
Just me and him.
You and Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Well, what does that have to do with you signing to Roc Nation, though? He's not your boss. He's not the boss there.
Well, I'm the boss.
Well, where's Jay-Z?
He didn't want to take
you
a picture.
To Roc Nation?
I noticed a lot of people who sign lately, they always get a picture with Jay-Z.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Okay.
I didn't get
that. Does he even know that you're signed there?
Yes.
You're sure?
Positive.
Okay. But you didn't see him the day of your... signing.
He wasn't there. He wasn't in town.
Okay. Was there a piece of cake?
Well, there was like, leftover pizza in the snack room.
Was there leftover cake from someone else's signing that they could give you?
There was no.
Like, here you go. This was Lil Uzi Vert's cake. I mean, like, there was nothing.
No. It wasn't a big deal at the time.
What about the chain?
I didn't get a chain.
No.
I didn't get a Rockaway.
I think Camilo has a chain.
Yeah, he probably does.
Now we have to. We'd be remiss if we didn't, of course, talk about this NFL deal because
okay. I don't know.
Well, hold on. Don't be a pessimist yet.
I don't want to do it.
The reason I have to bring it up is because when this podcast launched, we had planned this podcast release for months, and we're a few weeks from it starting. We'd already been recording, I believe. We'd recorded some. And then the Jay-Z NFL deal gets announced. And for maybe, I feel like it was the most negative public reaction Jay's ever received for anything in his entire career.
I feel like there was one other big one back in the day. I forget what it was.
Was it like property in Brooklyn?
It was probably like gentrification stuff around Barclays. He was getting bad press for that.
And he had this press conference with Roger Goodell,
mm-hmm.
the commissioner of the NFL, who's not a beloved character for a variety of reasons.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing I'll
say— The NFL's in New York, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I believe that there's a lot of different ways to look at the Jay-Z NFL situation. And mm-hmm. as you and I have said, our personal take based on Jay-Z's history is that this is a guy who sort of deserves the benefit of the doubt to see what he's capable of doing with this as time
Jay-Z.
Goes on. Yes.
I agree.
However, I'll mm-hmm. say the flip side to that, though. I thought the press conference was a really weird decision
mm-hmm.
that optically went wrong. No matter how you look at it,
okay.
The press conference part of them buddying up together,
right?
I know why the NFL wanted that. I don't think in the end it benefited Jay.
So it seems like Jay is not great at press conferences. The title one, the NFL one. They've both gone horribly wrong.
Why? What was the negative around the title one?
Oh, everyone hated it. I don't know why. I didn't mind it.
They just thought it was over the top?
Yeah, it was like, why are you parading all these artists in front of us? Also, I will say this. I heard a lot of young people, those millennial types, saying, why would we pay for music? That was one of the things, too, I remember.
Oh, and it was another situation. I know why also. It was Jay basically authoritatively taking a stake in other artists' music.
And also
he was becoming almost a profiteer of other artists' catalog.
While saying, this is the platform where the artists will make the most money.
Exactly. It was saying, screw Spotify, screw all the other options.
Yeah.
This is the one to go to.
Right.
Because it benefits artists most. And also, you can't get my
and
music
all
anywhere
part
else.
Part owners, but everyone was like, nah, you're the owner.
Right.
So NFL.
So the NFL situation is, no one exactly understands what the partnership means.
Nor should you. It's their business.
But why then do a big public announcement?
Right.
If it's going to be unclear. And then also, they opened the room to questions. Now, it was sort of like they invited who they wanted to invite.
Right. Right. So that was safe. They had their people, I'm assuming.
But someone still asked about Kaepernick. And his answer to that was one that appeared to be, and I do not believe this is how Jay-Z feels, but when you see the clip,
I think that's a bigger problem. It's probably a small clip of a way longer conversation.
And you can watch the whole thing. It exists out there, and it's all a little bit iffy. But he says, someone asked about kneeling, and he said, I think we've moved past kneeling, and I think it's time to go into actionable items. By the way, I believe that to be a totally valid statement, but the term alone, I think we've moved past kneeling, makes people feel a way. Yes, Life of Sounds.
My hand is up.
I see.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything to the fact that I know Jay-Z personally and have dealt with him in these type of rooms and situations that I'm hearing something different than what most people are hearing?
Yes, I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
But I think I have the same faith in him. But if you keep actually reading the quote, he then goes, no, I don't want people to stop protesting at all. Kneeling, I think we're stuck on it because it's a real thing. But kneeling is a form of protest. I support protest across the board. We need to bring light to the issue. Everyone knows what the issue is. We're done with that. We all know the issue now. Okay, next. What are we moving on to next? And I'm not minimizing that part of it because that has to happen. That's a necessary part of the process. But now that we all know what's going on, what are we going to do? How are we going to stop it? Because the kneeling was not about a job. It was about injustice. He really says it, honestly, to me, very clearly.
I know what it is.
But people don't trust it. They don't believe it.
He's saying it with that Brooklyn twang.
There's a snicker. There's a little bit of a... He even says, what was the kneelings about? Do you know what it was about? He even asks it sort of in a little bit of an obnoxious rhetorical way.
Yeah.
And so I think the combination of that rubbing people the wrong way, mixed with the fact that he's yucking it up with this face of the NFL white man, when everyone's thinking about the fact that Cap never got a job, is very difficult for people to swallow. But I agree with his
kneeling,
actionable item thing. I really do.
This is my problem, though. The kneeling is not about Cap getting a job. right?
Correct.
It's about police brutality and the way the police handle all these different situations where people are getting killed by the police.
Yes. But then Cap could never get a job again, so everyone attached the kneeling to him not getting a job because he didn't
That's
get the job.
That's the devil right there.
Right.
That's the game that I don't fuck with. They use things and they blur out certain things they don't want you to see and push you in the direction of things they do want you to see. That's the bullshit.
And as a result, it actually really ends up dividing people. And it was really, it sucked, man. Like, I saw people attacking Jay-Z who should not hate Jay-Z. They were making him, they started making people choose Cap or Jay-Z. That, if that's not the devil's work, I don't know what is. But people fell hook, line, and sinker. All kinds of people. People with voices, people
but Jay,
on Twitter.
Jay knew that was going to happen, right?
You would know better than me, but I would assume he did. And I would assume he's just like, let it be quiet. It'll quiet down. I'll do what I'm going to do, and then we'll move on. And we'll see what happens. Now, we had a couple of different journalists who had different views on what the NFL deal meant to them and what Jay's intentions ultimately are. Here's Donnie Kwok, East Coast Bureau Chief for The Ringer.
The way this Jay-Z argument is being framed on Twitter is essentially, on one side, people that stand with Kaepernick or kneel with Kaepernick, and then on the other side, Jay-Z. It has echoes to me, or it reminded me a little bit of like the backpack commercial rap argument from the 90s.
Okay.
Whereby all these people are kind of banding together with the woke, kind of socially conscious.
Yes.
Eric Reed and Cap. And Jay-Z is like just the singular, cold-minded pursuit of money.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like the same kind of argument, except now just 20 years later.
Yeah.
But don't you think, I'm going to take it a step further, and maybe I'm a fool. Jay-Z, I think, was aware of it in the 90s. And spent time sitting on the middle. He sat on the fence. You know, Dead Presidents as a single is, he knows what he's doing. That's a rap-ass record with a hard-ass sample.
Right.
In My Lifetime, Volume 1, we can talk about the commercial records, and I have, but there's Where I'm From, there's Streets Is Watching. He's very aware of what he's doing there, too. And I think it's similar to this. Jay-Z has been at the forefront of dealing with the social issues these days and really being playing a key role behind the scenes for a lot of people and also out in front of it. I think he sees himself as able to do both. I think he's always seen himself as, I do represent this real shit and I will also take it to a bigger place.
Agreed.
And I think he's doing that here too. He's like, I get it. Love what y'all are doing. Cap, dude, seems cool. I like what you're on. I'm also Jay-Z. I'm going to handle things how I handle things, and I'm going to move how I move. Hope you guys like it. If you don't, it's cool. I still respect what you did. I just think that's how he operates. Yeah. I think he knows he's capable of things that maybe some people aren't.
I agree with that. Do you think, though, that... I mean, obviously, time will tell what happens with the NFL deal and how they maneuver, but obviously there's been a lot of blowback on what's happened so far. Do you think
it timing hasn't been great for the podcast? Keep going.
Do you think it will affect how people, younger people, millennials, people that are socially conscious or agree with Kaepernick, it will affect how they appreciate Jay-Z's music or legacy even?
Well, I'll tell you when we check the downloads for Juan Epstein. I think in the immediate it could. I do. I know it sounds crazy. I do think over the next couple of years, I do. And then I think in the long term.
Yeah, you never bet against Jay-Z, really.
I never bet against Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
It's gonna when it's
that
all
that guy.
It's interesting though, because when I work with people in their 20s and they were so against this Jay-Z NFL thing that I do think Jay-Z now has become the symbol for corporate greed to them, or like, you know, billionaires and their kind of Illuminati ways, and they don't relate to him at all. Obviously, he's way older, but I think it's even affected the way they see his music or think about him as a pop culture figure.
Yeah, because I mean, all they have is 444.
Yeah, I mean, they basically know as Beyonce's husband. Yeah.
Right, before that was, how? What album was before that? Was years before that.
Magna Carta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, which was also...
There's some joints on there.
But Magna Carta has joints, but it also could be looked at as like a corporate scheme because it was like the whole Samsung deal.
No, no, no. And right? The imagery around it. Do you remember what it looked like too?
Yeah.
Like all the like art. And
yeah.
Marina Abramovich art thing.
It was... Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I liked Magna Carta. The imagery around it was annoying. I felt that way too. That's a really good point though. There's not a lot in that space.
They don't have the, this is how I always judge stuff. Like the difference, it's only 10 years, right? 10 years doesn't feel that long to us, but the difference of a 10-year-old to a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
Everything happens in that 10 years. That 10-year gap is everything. So if you were 13 and now you're 23, like who is Jay-Z to you? If you didn't have older brothers or uncles that played you all his older shit, or if you didn't go back and look, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, we have to deal with
like
the fact.
Pop culture wise, like Beyonce's husband, and like.
We are going to have to deal with the fact that the time is coming where there are people who will not just readily accept that Jay-Z is like the best and the greatest ever.
Yeah.
And they're going to throw him in the category with old school motherfuckers the way they did with Rakim and every other great that came before. Of, they're like, oh yeah, they're great for that time.
Yeah, but
musically.
But they know who he is because he does so much stuff in this time.
Right.
But not necessarily music.
When that whole top 50 MCs stuff was going through Twitter though, Jay-Z was on the top of everybody's list basically. Right.
Yes. I mean,
so,
yeah, like anyone weird. Who made a list basically had
Jay-Z number one,
top one or two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's Evie Ayani, a writer and editor who's done work for the New York Times, The Village Voice, and many more.
So, at one end, it looks like, does this show where his intentions really lie, or does it show that he just made a bad business deal? Like every business person makes a bad deal every now and then, and you come back from it, right? So, years from now, we're going to see what this turned out to be. Could it have been just a bad deal on his part? Or could it be that he was invested in something beyond Colin Kaepernick, beyond social justice?
Is there,
we don't know until,
but yeah. Isn't there a world in which, over the long term, we see a real, as the relationship grows and it goes from being maybe more about, you know, helping put together the halftime at the Super Bowl or weekly events in cities, if that relationship grows, maybe he's able to have a real influence on this league, which is not going anywhere. I mean, for all the conversation there was about protest, their numbers are back up. You know, we may all know people who don't watch the NFL. People are watching the NFL. The players are still playing in the NFL. It is still going to be an opportunity for kids to get out of the hood to go play in the NFL. So as time goes on, is it possible that we look 5-10 years down the road and we go, wow, Jay-Z actually really helped change the culture and sort of the social implications of what the NFL is and was?
The NFL absolutely is not going anywhere. That's not going to change. What also isn't going to change is the fact that Jay-Z is one of the most important artists and humanitarian of this generation. And it is very difficult to gauge in the moment, in real time, but all of the criticism is warranted in regards to how this alignment just doesn't look good optics-wise.
Agreed.
But we also cannot predict what this alignment really means. Someone making the argument that, like you said, he could be giving the NFL some insight and direction.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like you can't make a change if you're not in the room. You got to get in the room first. And there was a crack in the foundation, and he slid in.
But some also make the argument that you cannot change these long-standing institutions from the inside. Some make the argument that in order for a corrupt institution to be changed, it just has to be dismantled completely. So there's that other side of the argument. But then people are saying that, you know, Jay-Z being aligned with the NFL means he can introduce the NFL's wide audience to newer Black artists. And, you know, there's just that element to help someone else's career. And it's just clear that he's giving the NFL access to Black culture, access to Black artists, access to these different things that they probably wouldn't have had. Like, to be honest, That's a huge co-sign. Like, Jay-Z is co-signing the NFL, and that comes with pros and cons. And it comes with a lot of cons. So his alignment with the NFL could mean that now other artists who potentially might be thinking about aligning with the NFL just because Jay-Z is doing it. But, you know, there's so many big artists that turn down involvement with the NFL, thinking Cardi B and Rihanna. So now that Jay-Z has co-signed them, it could mean that there's a new wave of artists and celebrities who are also going to feel comfortable aligning with an institution who has pretty much blackballed a black athlete for standing up against injustices. But that's thinking of it on this micro level. On a macro level, I have no idea what's going to happen. So.
Scythe.
Yellow.
We've talked a lot about business and about the whole picture of Jay-Z.
Yeah, it's not my strong suit.
No, me neither. It's not my favorite thing, but we had to do it because we had to set up for next week. You know what next week is?
How Reasonable
the
Doubt.
The final countdown.
Final edition of our convo on Hov, a.k.a. Hovito, a.k.a. Jay-Z.
A.K.A. That's money, baby.
Is he the GOAT? That's money, baby. Is he the GOAT?
Yeah, so next week we'll break it down. We'll have a special guest with us, and we will finally get to the conclusion. Is Jay-Z the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
You guys don't realize this, but you were part of a mock trial, a.k.a. a rock trial.
All right.
And we gathered up all our evidence, and we presented it, and now it's time for final statements.
Okay, doing a little too much there. Next week, and make sure right now you go review, leave a comment, leave 5 stars. We appreciate everyone doing it, but we need even more. I saw a bunch, but we need more of them. So go to
Just do it.
It's easy. Go to the podcast app on your iPhone or whatever. Leave us a good review. And don't forget to go to our Instagram at Rosenberg Radio, at Cypher Sounds, and get tickets to our party in New York City the day before Thanksgiving.
Just a little review.
Right. And then come hang out with us. Oh, Cypher, by the way, a quick thing. Carhartt Girl contest.
Yes.
Best Carhartt Girl wins a pack of Phillies Blunts.
A box.
A box of Phillies Blunts.
Yes.
And also for whoever brings the illest classic hip hop t-shirt. Not a repress, original.
Original. No, it don't matter.
No.
Okay.
One Up is hosted by me, Peter Rosenberg.
And me, Cypher Sounds.
Our production team is associate producer Rob Dozier.
And production assistant Hebron Mendez.
Dan Panarese is our associate editor. Our executive producer is Chiquita Pascal.
Juan Epp is a production of Mass Appeal and Endeavor Audio and is also created by producer Samantha Allison of Endeavor Audio and associate producer Savannah Jeffries of Mass Appeal.
As well as executive producer Mark Grandy of Mass Appeal and Dave Easton of Endeavor Audio.
Cedric Wilson is our mix engineer.
Kasim Bradley is our recording engineer.